Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I come as one under authority, confessing my sins as well as sins of my brethren, us together. We receive mercy upon us as we go into this time of prayer. Father, we lift up our eyes to you, because this indeed is your word. And it is impossible for a man to take the treasures of the wisdom of God compressed in these 66 volumes and teach and preach it effectively without your help. So Father, I come to you and ask you for fresh mercy. I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge and in my preparation, and Lord alone. And I put my confidence in your mercy, Lord, to mix with my knowledge and my preparation, so that, Lord, your word will be anointed. You will anoint my heart. You will anoint my lips. Let your word flow out of me, pure living water. Make me a pure chalice of life, that your word will flow from you and through me, Lord, unto your people. Lord, causing it to come forth in wisdom, Lord, in power, in accuracy, in clarity, with simplicity, bringing the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit with it in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that as the word goes forth, Lord, you will back this word under the covenant of my spiritual fathers with your power, that everywhere it is heard in the earth, Lord, you will cause blind eyes to be open. You will cause yokes to be broken. You will cause, Lord, the deaf to have their ears unstopped. You will cause strength to come to the feeble knees and to the ankle bones, helping us to be doers of all that we hear and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Let an internal, eternal work be done through your word this afternoon. Lord, that our wills be more submitted to your will, our minds be more illuminated with the revelation and the light that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions be further controlled and dominated by the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you help me to be concise and to be precise. Lord, help me so that, Lord, my own heart, Lord, you will work upon it in the name of Jesus. And I'll not speak of myself, but Father, you will help me, Lord, to speak of you and to speak of my fathers, so that, Lord, indeed there will be no unrighteousness. And Lord, you will make me pure and holy, a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, help us to redeem the time. Let your kingdom come. Let all of your will be done, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Because we are blessed. Now, this word I have today is entitled, Raising Up His Standard. Raising Up His Standard. And if you look in the world today, Revelation 12 verse 15, thank you, you will see that there is abounding iniquity in the earth. There is a flood of iniquity that Satan has released. Bible says, then out of his mouth, let's say it together, and then out of his mouth, talking about and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. The woman is the church, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. There is a flood. It's an invisible flood. It's a spiritual flood. It means a spiritual force of power. And that power is producing iniquity, lawlessness of the highest order. It manifests as unrighteousness and ungodliness. Unrighteousness in the sense that there is a moral decadence in the air. You can see it. You know, standards have been reduced. And they keep reducing every day. You know, and if you say the numbers, like, you look so strange, like a pariah, you know, and they make a pariah out of you, you know, that, no. So there's decadence that stems from rejection of the word of God. There is man's inhumanity to man, modern day slavery, you know, the list is endless, you know, xenophobia, you know, there's so many things you can name in the world. There are evil policies from governments. They legislate the wrong thing, and it's a law, like Nebuchadnezzar, like Pastor was preaching powerfully this morning. And people have to bow because they're legislating the evil. It's a power in the air that is doing it. Okay? And of course, there's crime and wickedness. And then there is ungodliness. So even the church has not been spared. That force has come into the church because it's invisible. You can't shut the window and say, don't come in. It's in the air. So it comes in. There's no defense, you know, so to speak, that is physical that can stand against this. But the Bible says that no darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now give me Isaiah 60 verse 2. Don't let me misquote it, you know, quickly. Isaiah 60 verse 2. Okay. Says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. You can see that first part right there. So there's gross darkness. And this is how it's manifest. So even in the church, there is darkness. You know, and no, the devil, even though there is light in the church, he tries to dim the light. Put the candle under a bushel of covetousness, a bushel of rebellion, a bushel of stubbornness. You know, so of lawlessness and disobedience to instruction or ignoring instruction. So what you now have is it pales in comparison to what God initially intended. But I want to say that God is fixing to change it in Jesus' name. Okay? And what God is doing is that God's going to use you. Tell your neighbor, God's going to use me. Correction, God is using me. Amen. And I want to show you how you can cooperate with God so that you can help God raise up a standard against that. Look at Isaiah 59 verse 19. Isaiah 59 verse 19. Thank you. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the west of the sunrise east. So in the west, they fear the name, because that's what they need. They need to fear the name and the character of the Lord, because they already have the message, but they're not walking in the fullness of it. So they need to fear the name. But the people on the east need to see the glory, raw power, because they are even in darkness. Amen. When the enemy shall come in, change the comma from where flood is and put the comma after in. Pastor taught us that. So reposition the comma. When the enemy shall come in, like a flood, what? The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's what God wants to do. And he's fixing on doing it right now. So God's raising up a standard that will subdue this flood. You know, there is a flood that is going to swallow up another flood. God's flood will swallow up this flood. Just as Moses' snake swallowed up Jannes and Jambres' snake. The greater swallows the... Correct. Okay. So the standard is Christ in us. Colossians 1:27. Give it to me quickly. Okay. Thank you. To whom God would make known. I can't hear you. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery? So this mystery is rich in glory. Is very rich in glory among the Gentiles, you and I, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of turn neighbor. I'm rich in glory. Glory is not something you're going to get in by and by. Glory is something God wants to give you now. God wants to give us glory now. Pour out his glory on the earth, because the earth needs to see the glory. The earth needs to see the glory. But God is waiting for you to get Christ in you, because that is the access card, if you like. Now release the glory upon you, so the glory will not consume us. Amen. Tell him, I'm going to receive the glory. And you're going to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the will of God for us. God wants to pour out that glory upon us. You will be soaked. Say, riches of glory. Brethren, you can't imagine. Eye has not seen how much glory there is. He couldn't express. So he said, you will be dripping with glory. Your very breath will release glory. Your shadow will release glory. Your word will release glory. Your thoughts will release glory. Brethren, it's not pie in the sky. It's not preaching to make you excited. It is the truth of the word of God. And we must believe it to be able to manifest it. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Okay? And when God sees that Christ in you, then like you also, the heavens will open. And the Spirit of God will descend like a dove, never to go back. In Jesus' name. Alright, that's the will of God. So, and when that's me, that's the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure. The same way it descended on Jesus Christ is the same way it's going to descend on you. Look at John 3:34. Thank you. Quickly, thank you. For he whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You see, the Bible starts to use words to depict something that is mathematical and numerical. He's trying to say that the king cannot be measured. The other one said riches of the glory. They're trying to make something that is abundant. God told Solomon, like the sand on the seashore. God told Abraham, like the stars of the sky. Well, he's talking about numbers, glory, exponential to the power 1,000. Can you take that in? That is you. As he is, so are you. Where? In this world. That's what God is doing. Amen. So as there's darkness, you will become the light. And the light will swallow up the darkness. And then people can now come to the brightness of your rising. That's the whole idea. Okay? So allow God to raise up the standard. Amen. But if you look around, it doesn't look like it. And Abraham had a similar challenge. God had promised him an heir, and he didn't have it. And so he went to God and said, God, you promised me this thing. I don't have a son of my bowels. God said, not only will you have a son, I am going to make your seed uncountable. Then I'm going to put them in a land that they will inherit. And Abraham thought, oh no, you have not even given me the son. Which one you are talking about? Uncountable seed again. Genesis 15, verse 3 to 7. Give it to me in the NIV, quick. Genesis 15, 3 to 7. So this is the same thing. You're wondering, Pastor Kunle, see what we're going through? My car just did this the other day. You know, and then there are things in my office, they are thinking of downside. Stop thinking physical. Your salvation is not in the physical, though. When Daniel was in the lion's den, was it the knowledge that he had learned in school that delivered him? When Joseph was in prison, it was the knowledge he learned that delivered him. No, it is God. You have to put the God in you to work. You have to learn to live naturally, supernaturally, in a natural way. That's the solution. Both together, superimposed. A God man. That's who you are. Amen. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household shall be my heir. Next verse. Quick. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Next verse. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens, count the stars, even indeed you can count them. He's talking about uncountable. He's trying to give him a picture. Okay. Then he said unto him, so shall thy offspring be. This is not the L. This is number two. Next verse. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. May God credit your account in Jesus' name. He's going to credit your account. You'll get a lot. Amen. You're all happy because it's not narrow and but you will get a lot in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Next verse. Verse 7. He said also to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to take possession of it. That's number three. We don't have time for that. But my next one is verse 8. Give it to me. Abraham said, O sovereign Lord. That's sovereign. Only you can do this thing. It's beyond my imagination. How can I know that I will gain possession of it? Then God now answered him. And the essence of God's answer was, let's make a covenant. Let's make a covenant. Get some animals, get a ram, three rams, three, three, three. No, Jesus ministered for 3 years. God took 30 years to prepare the lamb. Then he now spent 3 years. So it was 3 years. The lamb was 3 years, the ram was 3 years, the goat was 3 years. Three. Divided them half. And then it was Abraham had responsibilities. His job was to drive the fowl away. The fowls of air, which represents the demonic. And then God also had his responsibilities, because in the night time, when Abraham was asleep, God brought a lamp. Burning lamp.
So God and Abraham had responsibilities in the covenant. That's the blood covenant. Okay? So you can see that covenant was the assurance that God was giving that, look, I'm going to do this. Alright? Now we know the story. After the covenant was caught, just to save time, Abraham went down the street of Hagar. He listened to words that caused you to err. You will not listen to words that caused you to err in Jesus' name. Even from those that are close to you, your heart, you'll be right. So God can deliver your heart. Amen. Alright, so but anyway, he went down that road, and then in Genesis 17, God appears to him. Say, walk upright and be perfect before me. All this nonsense is not me. After 13 years, let's put all that aside. We have a covenant together. And the way to your blessing is by doing my own will, and then I will take care of your need. In a covenant, you don't look after yourself. Otherwise, it's not a covenant. A covenant is only of force after men are dead. So you have to die to yourself and live for him, so that then he can live through you. Amen. As I'm doing an exam, those of you that are doing an exam, I've tried this, and I'm not telling you pie in the sky. If you do God's own and make God private, I'm not saying you should not read. That's not the wisdom of God. You have to read. But you have to put God in view and make God part of your preparation. Are you hearing me? And if you make God part of your preparation and you listen to God, you obey God, you obey every instruction you hear from natural authority, from spiritual authority, from the word of God, your grades will astound you. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is a limit the natural will go, and when God appears on the scene, you'll see a new level. It's a new level of success. That's your portion. Receive it in Jesus' name. So I should drop that for you. Okay, God said I should give you that. All right. Right. So we see that. All right. And as we continue, you then see that God then gave Abraham Genesis 17. Just believe me, 17:1-4. Or then from 2-10, you can check that later. All right. And then he gave him circumcision as a sign of the covenant. Okay, that's important. And then he taught him spiritual law in Genesis 18. Changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which is spiritual law. It's confessing the word. You have what you say. That's what he was teaching him. Then he taught him again intercession. Okay, so he said, I want to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Supposing they are 45. Supposing they are 40. Supposing it's intercession. Standing up. Spiritual law. God was teaching Abraham spiritual law. These are all important principles you must understand. So, bottom line in Genesis 21, he receives the heir. The promise came to pass. Tell your neighbor, the promise came to pass. If the promise came to pass, tell him now, if the promise came to pass, our promise is coming to pass. It has to come. It's the same God. It's the same God. Amen. But how did it come to pass? A blood covenant. Based on three things: absolute trust, operation of spiritual law, and obedience to instruction. And we are children of Abraham. We have the same covenant through Abraham in Christ Jesus. Look at Galatians 3 verse 13 to 14 quickly. So we see that we also have a blood covenant. Now it's the blood of a lamb. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is now the ratifying this covenant. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. Okay? Say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Next verse. That the might come on the Gentiles. Through whom? Christ Jesus. That might receive the promise of the Spirit without measure through faith. You're going to get it. The way Abraham got it, you're going to get it. We have to operate spiritual law. Remember, we have to use the blood, operate spiritual law, faith, and then obedience to instruction. Okay. Now, if you look again in the Bible, you will see that when the children of Israel were going to come into the land, when they were going to come into the promised land, the promised land was a physical land that God promised them. So God took them out of Egypt to take them to the promised land. Their destiny was to enter the promised land and to have a portion divided for them in that promised land that was called by their name. Amen. And Joshua's job was to divide the land for an inheritance for them. Well, I have news for you. You also were brought out of Egypt, get born again, to enter into a promised land. But yours is not a physical land in Lekki or Alagbadu. Your own land is a spiritual experience where Christ dominates your thinking, your talking, your emotions, everything you do. And on top of that, you have the glory of the Spirit without measure. So as you, that's your kingdom. Huh? Thy kingdom come. Say amen. Thy kingdom come. It's coming. When his kingdom has come, your own kingdom will come under his own kingdom. Amen. All right, he's the King of Kings. So you have a kingdom. Amen. Under him. Amen. Don't be afraid. We have a kingdom. Amen. So this the same we know. So we can look at Joshua as a pattern to also learn how you're going to inherit. So let's look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 2 to 5. Two things I saw here. In Joshua 3, we now see Joshua as the head of Israel, instructing two categories of people. First, he instructed the people. Second, he instructed the priests. Look at Joshua chapter 3. Thank you very much. Give me from verse 2. And it came to pass, after how many days? We're in the third day. Amen. From year 2000, we've been in the third day. Okay? That the officers went through the host. Next verse. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and what? Go after it. It's a specific instruction. It never didn't happen before. Now, at this point, yes, they used to follow the ark, but now they were introducing a new component, which was priests, Levites. So it meant that those Levites carried the presence of God. Yes, because the ark would rest on their shoulders. Four, one at each post, carrying it. That's how the ark used to move. So he was telling them again that when you see it, you will get up from your place. You will remove from your place. You cannot stay in your place. There is no room for you to have a comfort zone. And you will follow the ark. Next verse. Yet, I can't hear you. Yet, there shall be a space between you and it, about how much? 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. What's he saying? They were coming into the promised land. The promised land was a land that they didn't know. They have not come this way before. So they have to follow the priest with the ark to be able to navigate the way and get to the allotted path that God originally intended for each and every one of them. Now the same way, so guess what? If they don't follow the ark or they follow it too close, look at the consequence. They will not know the way. You see why many Christians may not enter their inheritance? Because he was specific. Give it 2,000 cubits. That 2,000 cubits is what? Attitude of reverence. You must reverence those in spiritual authority. You cannot be too familiar with them. Yes, they love you. Yes, they laugh with you. Yes, they play. But you put the check on your heart. You put the distance between you and them in your heart. And you maintain that distance. Like somebody said the other day, don't let it come down to 1,990 cubits. That's dangerous. Keep it 2,000. And don't let it become 2,050. God didn't beg you. Stay at the 2,000. So it's dynamic. Because if they stop and you continue walking, what do? You shorten the distance. If you stop and you're scratching your leg, and then you want to really scratch it, and you know they're moving. You know, the gap is increasing again. So you couldn't do what you wanted anyhow. Everything you did was in relation to the movement of the priest with the ark. We give God the glory. We give God the glory. It's God, not me. All right? So that's the first instruction. Second one, give me verse 5. Thank you. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. For what? Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, God didn't do any miracle among them. So, what did he mean?
We'll see.
Go to verse 6. Then he spoke to the priests. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over where? Before the people.
Priests should not be behind the people. Priests should not be at the same level as the people.
Priests should be before the people.
Should take responsibility. Good shepherd will be in front and take the flag. Be in front and carry the burden. Not push people forward and say, Mombo. Mombo. That's not the will of God. Look at the position. These are specific instructions, brethren. And it has implications for us, okay? All right?
And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Next verse. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Next verse.
Oh, okay. Yes. Give me verse 9.
All right. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Okay, next verse. Now, I want to bring out something here. So we see two categories. We see the priests, we see the people. And we see that they had instructions. The people follow the ark. Follow the priests at a specific distance. And then sanctify yourselves. The priests cultivate holiness. Carry the ark before the people. Alright? And then, next verse. I want to show you something. And Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you. As if they didn't know. He was talking about something different. That God wants to really assure you that he's really with you and is really in your midst. I'm speaking to you, brethren. God wants you to know that you're on the right path. He wants to really make it plain that, look, no, you are right smack in my will. Amen. All right, and that without fail, he will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, all the Hites. Okay, that's infirmities, covetousness, rebellion, stubbornness, all those things. He's going to drive them out of your land in Jesus' name. All right, next verse. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you to Jordan. Next verse. Now, therefore, take you 12 tribes, take 12 men out of the tribes of out of every tribe a man. Next verse. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all that shall rest in the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and shall stand upon an heap. Next verse. And it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of God before the people. Next verse. Okay. That as they bear the ark, they were coming to Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks at this time. This was a situation that occurred. In the Jordan was a swelling river, and the time was the time of the harvest. But see what God wanted to do. Next verse. Okay, that's not what I'm on. Okay, alright. But what I want to bring out is this. He told the priests, I think it's verse 8, I'm not sure. Said, stand still in the Jordan. The priest was supposed to stand still in the middle of the Jordan. Jordan represents the place of death. So priests are supposed to be standing still in the place of death. Death just means self-denial. You don't do what you want. You can't do what you like. Because you are carrying the presence of the Lord. You can't speak anyhow. You can't spend your time anyhow. Uh-huh. So you have to do what God said you should do, because there are people coming behind you and they need you to stand still consistently in that place of self-denial. And there was a reason why. Okay, there was a reason why. And you can see that as Joshua was saying, you know, when he did that, like we saw in later on in the verse, you know, when it was verse 14, verse 15, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So it formed a wall. Like Pastor told us, froze. God did it for Moses. God did it for Joshua. And then on the side again, it froze. And then they passed over on dry land. The same thing. Land wasn't wet too. It was dry. So there was heating from underneath. The land was dry.
But what happened? The priest stood still in that Jordan. The people crossed on dry ground. It wasn't the people, it was the priest that stopped the river, and the people crossed over. Okay. Now, what does all that pertain? One thing I want to bring out is this: when we cross into the land, we cross under covering. But we can see two categories of people. When Moses crossed the children of Israel, they were all people. But this time, when the children of Israel crossed, the Bible mentions that there were 40,000 of them that were prepared for war. It means that there were people at different spiritual levels. These are the same Israelites that were complainers. The Bible talks in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about how they were fornicators, idolaters, they murmured, they complained. But there were 40,000 that the Bible noted that, these 40,000, they were prepared for war with the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. Those ones were even armed. That was even a different level. Those ones were armed for war. Those other ones were prepared for war. And then there was another, just the people. The question is, brethren, what level are you? We are all in the land. But you cannot take your land by wishing it. You cannot take it and say, Father Joshua said, this is my land. Go away. Who? The Reubenites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, they're going to throw a spear. They're going to come and chase you off. You're going to take it by warfare. So you have to be prepared for war, and you have to be armed with spiritual weapons to take your land. So you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are going somewhere to become a standard. Do you understand? But God wants you to stop thinking civilian and start thinking military. Start thinking, I've got responsibilities to do. I need to do this first. When I've done this first, then I can do what I want to do. You have to have priorities. My treasure, my priority. He becomes your priority. Because you understand that, look, I'm not in this just to have a good life. And thank God we're going to have a good life. Amen. But I'm in this to inherit. I have to inherit. Because until I inherit, the glory will not cover me. And I want to be limited to the degree to which I can help people. Which God wants to use me for. Amen. Alright. Now, if you look at John 17 verse 19. Oh, have mercy. John 17 verse 19. Give it to me quickly. You can see that the spiritual state of fathers affect their spiritual children. Thank God for our fathers in this house. Alright. Let's read this together. This Jesus has said it. Say, and for their sakes, I do what? Sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So it means that the sanctification upon the fathers flows to the children. Amen. Give a clap offering to our fathers. Father, we give you worship. We just bless you for our fathers. What a privilege. They are sanctified by the truth, the whole counsel of the word of God. And you know what that has done? It's made you and I purer. It's made us wiser. It's opened up our eyes. We know right from left. The question now is, do it. And follow. But that standard, you can see there, right there, that, you know, and there are some other people who are under spiritual leadership that does not sanctify themselves with the word of God. They don't check their thoughts with the word of God. They don't check their actions with the word of God. They don't build according to the standard of the word of God. I was sharing with you the other day that, you know, in everything they do, they want to look for the word. Every decision, even in marriage, even anything they want to do, they want to see, how does God this apply? How does God apply here? Where can I find God here? How can I use this to glorify God? Same way you do with your exam. I want to use this for your glory. Don't say, of course God wants you to pass, God wants you to fail, but are you even willing to allow God to use it for his glory? It's a covenant, remember? It is a covenant. Don't live for yourself. You get the maximum when you live for God. And that's when you really get God's maximum. Otherwise, you shortchange. You will get something. But it will never be like what you have gotten if it was God. It will never be. Because God wants to make you a wonder to a generation. Amen. Look at Isaiah 51, verse 1 to 3. Amen. Quickly,
Hearken unto me, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. How many people are following after righteousness here? I am. Ye that seek the Lord. How many people are seeking the Lord? It is God you are seeking. Is it not God you are seeking? But see what he says. Look to where? The rock. So as you are looking to God, you are looking to the rock as well. Alright? Well, from whence you are hewn, the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hold of the pit whence you are digged. Next verse. Look unto who? Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him. That's one. God called him alone. Two, and blessed him. And increased him. What is the sign of true spiritual maturity? True mature leadership. They are called of God. They are blessed or anointed by God. And then they are mature in God. It's not the same. Blessed him and increased him is not the same. Blessed is outside. Increase is inside. Increase is inside. It's inside. Increase is fruit. Bless is anointing for service. Increase is character to inherit. Okay? So that is the standard that God has set. You need to understand true spiritual leadership. Because what the priest did by standing in the Jordan was what took the people over. The people didn't do anything, compared to the priest. They just walked through. Okay. Ah, this is the river Jordan. You are crossing. And you go, You can't compare. It is the sacrifice that they are making in the Jordan that made it just a walk in the park. It's a walk in the park compared to what they are putting through. You've got it. Now, there is a leadership in the church that doesn't do that. They allow you to carry your ark. And the weight is too much for the people. God have mercy. But God is going to change it. That thing hurts God. I can feel it in his heart. It hurts him, but he's going to change it. Okay? Alright, let's go on. Okay? So we see that. Let me just go there. Quick, give it to me. Matthew 23, verse 3. Matthew 23, verse 3. Yes. The Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, all that. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But what? Do not ye after their works. These are people that you cannot copy. For they say and do not. Next verse. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be burned and lay them on men's shoulders. What should be on the shoulders is the government. The ark is supposed to be on the shoulder. It's supposed to be on the shoulder of who? The priest. What are they doing on their shoulder? It's heavy. But God said his yoke is easy, but like this one is heavy and grievous to be borne. Bible says, my commandments are not grievous. They are not grievous because someone is carrying the weight of it. So all you do is just the little bit that they said that you should do. So there are many more things that you should do that they have not told you to do. Yet. So, but when they leave all that on you, you know, it's too much. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. There's a leadership that does that. God said, do not do what they do. Only hear what they say. So how do you know the one that you can follow? The one that is doing what they are saying. That's how you know what you can follow. And you can see that in Luke 6:45. Okay? This is the standard that God is raising up. It's the standard of leadership. Because that's where it begins, you see. It has to begin with the leadership. The standard is with the leadership, okay? Alright, look at 6:45. Thank you. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. This is talking about here. It's talking about the fruit of
deep revelation knowledge from the Word of God. Hidden manna that comes from the holiest of all. They open the scriptures up to you and say, wow. Like someone said, irony. You can't believe it. God. Ha! Is it the same Bible we are reading? Fruits of good treasure. That's a sign that this is from someone that you can follow. Deep revelation knowledge. No, okay, look at then. So now we're trying to identify the standard of leadership that you can follow. Okay, this is number one. Now look at Joshua 4:9, just quickly. You can see the same revelation there. Joshua chapter 4, verse 9. Oh, quick. Thank you. And Joshua set up how many stones? 12 is number for government. All right? In the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of Covenant stood, right where they stood, they took the stone from under the place. So it's something they've walked in. They've been there, they've done that. And they now told you to do it. That is the person that you can follow. Amen. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 12:12. What are the things that, you know, we're talking about? Standard that God is raising up. This is the standard. This is the meat of the message. Say, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. There is fruit of the Spirit. It's not suru. It's the fruit. Patience. Bible says, in your patience, possess your soul. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. People that you see love in their lives, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. And patience, consistency in their lives, consistency of integrity, consistency of humility, consistency of divine wisdom over decades. As somebody you can follow, you can see, as we are saying, that the number is coming down. Okay, it's like a triangle, it's coming down, triangle upside down, it's coming down. Okay, all right, okay. Then, what other sign? In signs and wonders. And mighty deeds. What does he mean by that? He's just talking about miracles. He's talking about miracles. He's talking about miracles. But why would he use three words to describe one thing? Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. What's the difference between all of them? Because they're not all the same. Mighty deeds is miracles. And we'll come to that very shortly in Jesus' name. But signs and wonders precede mighty deeds. What are signs and wonders? Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are transformed lives. Your life, when your life is transformed, is a sign. It's a sign to who? You. And a sign to people around you. And you've come, Bible says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Multi-dinkon to those around me. When you say, oh man, binu, I want to let you come down. Otini, God bless you. Ah. Eba, I went to Bilabaja today and I asked him to loan me 10,000. And he said, am I sure will you be enough? Can you remember Bilabaja? Even if you ask him one penny, he can't give you four. He gave me 15,000. And he said, I should pay him when I can. Can you imagine? It's a wonder. It's a wonder. Look at Daniel chapter 4. So we can take it from the Word of God. Verses 2 and 3. Thank you for that. All right. Look at this Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you know that God showed him the fire? Showed him pepper. And he became a wonder. To come and see what it is. It's not 5-minute prayer. You take out a phase and you sow it. Whatever God says you, once a month, once in 2 weeks, once a week, you pray. Your well-being is their well-being is your well-being. They are upstairs. So you can't afford anything to disturb what's going on top. So you first of all clear the heaven and make sure that they are okay. Then you will check in your heart and working on yourself. So that if they are being blessed, you'll be happy naturally. Why? Because you know that God is hearing my prayer and it's coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down. That's the will of God. Amen. So pray for them. Give to them. Don't say they already have. That's not the reason. You're not giving them because they don't have. You're giving it because it's a memorial. It's a memorial. I have to lift up the hands of Joshua and of Moses. I have to lift it up. It's a standard. It's a pattern. I must not break it. So I give even when I don't have. I sure was
for kings, for all thine authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, not godless and honesty. Amen. All right, back, give it to me. Oh, yes, thank you. Verse 1. 1 Timothy 1. Ah, can you give me the second verse? Ah, you should give me the first. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore. Okay. That first of all, what? And be made for all men, generally. Number 2. For, we are kings on the hill. On the hill. You have to pray for your spiritual oversight. If you didn't know it before, know it today. Write it down. You will take your life into a new level. It will take you into a new level. Some things you have been struggling with, you will see them no more. Why? Because God will discomfit them and drive them away. I'm telling you the truth. I'm living testimony. He will discomfit and drive them away. So give to them. Support them. Encourage them. Ah, Pastor, you're looking sharp today. Ah, you see a shirt somewhere. Let me buy this for my pastor. I'm not saying, they didn't send me to say this. Of course, you know our parents. They didn't send me to say this. But I'm not saying that any which way God says it to you, lift up the hand of Moses. Amen. It may not be the same for all of us. You understand what I mean? But let all of us be doing it at the same time. Do you understand? So everybody begins to grow. Amen. Number 2. We must be submissive in our attitude towards them and obedient. Look at Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Thank you. Let's read it together. Obey them that have the rule over you. And what? Submit what? Submit what? Yourselves. For they do what? Watch for what? Your soul. That they must give account. That they may do it with and not with. Who does it depend on? The account they give. Does it depend on them? Anyone like me say? Pastor Olubio, like me. Yeah, I've seen it many times. Don't just look at Pastor Kunle and say, okay. And then when he looks at me, and he doesn't call my name, I don't even know. The devil wants to take your crown. I'll tell you the truth, though. It's happened to me. There was a time the devil told me, Mama Sarah doesn't like me. You know when Mama Sarah deals with you sometimes? Discipline. This man, they don't know it. All they hear is hello, lovies. But that will be your problem. Anyway, when you grow up, you hear hello, lovies. When she did, I thought some years ago, I thought to myself, she doesn't like me. I actually believe this. Until one day, one message like this, coach just opened my eyes and said, you are deceived. Ha! My ears opened. I said, God, I repent. I repent. And from that time, everything just changed. That's what Satan does. He makes you think that they don't like you, or they don't know you, or you're not important, or you're not significant. It's a lie. It's a lie. You submit. Submit. Do the instruction in secret. The man that was doing the miracles that was not part of the disciples, did Jesus know him? He didn't know him, but he knew him in the spirit. So what you need is for them to know you in the spirit. And then, of course, if you want to have a relationship with them, that's good. You know, but the important thing is to be known in the spirit. Amen. My sheep hear my voice and know me, and follow me. So if you follow, they will know. So you follow. Amen. All right. So submit. That's the key I want to bring out there. Because when you submit, you give them joy. And the joy, because that submission brings life. And that life helps you to obey God. And then you cannot walk in the truth. The truth, there's some truths that we cannot walk in if we're not submitted. It's hard. It just takes spiritual power. And if you're not walking in sufficiency of power, to that degree, it'll be difficult for you to overcome some things. So the key is to open up the womb of your heart and the bowels, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's very, very important, okay? That we do that. All right, I want to go back to Isaiah 51 verse 3 as we begin to talk about the how. Okay? How. Now, give me verse 3. Isaiah 51 verse 3. Okay. Yes. For the Lord shall what? Comfort Zion. And he will comfort all her waste places. Zion is you and I. Okay? And he will make our wilderness like what? Eden. And our desert like what? This is the wonder. This is the miracle. Your wilderness will be like the garden of the Lord. Eh? Yes, now. You know, the desert will be like Eden in Jesus' name. It says, joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Our life will be a continual source of joy. A place of song and singing and thanksgiving and glory in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. Amen. So, brethren, how are we going to do it? Because that just came to my heart. The Holy Spirit said, emphasize that. We have to discern true fathers and reverence them in our hearts. We have to discern who they are. I've already told you how to do that. The fruit of good treasure. The revelation. The fruit of the Spirit. All right, the impact in your own heart. Signs and wonders. And then, of course, miracles. Okay, so we thank God for the miracles that we've seen. We've seen people give testimonies about miracles and people that believe in God for children that have been, you know, conceiving and all that. So we see that God is doing, God is on the move. But no, it's you must these things tell us that we're in the promised land. Because in the promised land, some things changed. And we'll see that later on, okay? But this is, it tells that you've crossed. When you can see change on the inside, then you can see that. Because in the wilderness, people were very childish and going around in circles and misbehaving. But in the promised land, they were bringing forth fruit. Okay? So that's important. Okay? Right. So, now, that's when you discern fathers and you reverence them in your heart, you enjoy covering. Covering is the power. Look at Isaiah 32, just very briefly. Covering is spiritual power that comes through kings. All right? Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in. So it's something they're already doing. They're already walking in righteousness. And priests shall rule in judgment. Next verse. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the covert and from the wind, I beg your pardon, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in the dry place, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Next verse. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. And the ears of them that hear shall hearken. So you see, so covering opens up your eyes and your ears to God. You can begin to hear God. You can begin to see God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, next verse. The heart of the rash shall also understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plain. So covering provides four things. Quickly, three things. Divine protection, because you need to be alive to be able to enter the promised land. Amen? All right? Alive and healthy. Two, it provides divine nourishment. Supplements your own natural nourishment. So you get nourishment from God, but covering supplements. So it's enough. So you can actually do the things you're supposed to do. And then covering provides spiritual discipline. This is very important. Because the spiritual discipline changes your heart from a disobedient heart to a wise and understanding heart. And that is the miracle. That's the wonder. As the sign. That is the internal sign and then the external sign. Okay? Number two. Hosea 6:2. Take advantage of the day of the Lord. We are in the day of the Lord. Amen. And God is raising people up. God will not pass you by in Jesus' name. I say God will raise you up in Jesus' name. Alright? It says, after 2 days will he what? Revive us. And the third day he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. I'll be raised up in Jesus' name. Let God raise you up. Let God raise you up as a standard. Amen. Let God raise you up. Don't stay, be like man at the beautiful gate. Be ready to receive your blessing. Expect something happening to you through covering. Amen. God wants to raise you up. Okay. And how is he going to do that? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9. Let's begin from verse 9. 2 Peter. All right, as we begin to round up. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. We're beginning to end now. God is saying, look, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Okay? As some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to us, what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us all to grow quickly. Because if the glory comes, it can't coexist with sin. So if it comes with sin, then it's going to destroy the very people that God wants to use. So it doesn't make sense. So God will hold on and wait. But let that time count. Long-suffering. So we need to be repenting. No, when you sin, you repent. But now, even when you're not sinning, you keep repenting. Because the sin thing is deep, deep, deep inside. So you keep repenting. The more you repent, the more you, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Show me. Help me. Help me. I repent. God begin to show you.
have a repentant attitude. Not just the act of repentance, but an attitude of repentance. Wanting to do things better. Do it God's way. Be more excellent. Be more godly. Not being satisfied. Very important. Next verse. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in night. It's already come. Slipped in. It's already come. So I'm already promised that. In which the heavens shall pass away with a what? Great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. He's talking literally. At the point in time, yes, the heavens are going to pass away. God will actually remove the heavens and he will burn up all the earth and bring a new heavens and a new earth. But before then, he's talking also spiritually or prophetically that God is going to engage in spiritual warfare in which your heavens here, the heavens here, in your head, your mind, your soul, is going to pass away with a great noise of travail. When you pray with deep intercession, you will change the heavens. These heavens, your mentality, your perspective, your mindset, those grave clothes, those strongholds, those imaginations, you will change them with a great noise. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. You will put it down. Bible says pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and then you build and plant godliness right there. Alright? So you have a new heavens. Then it says the elements will melt with fervent heat. So what are we saying, brethren? We must engage in spiritual warfare. Take away the civilian mentality. And God will bless me. It's God's responsibility. And start taking up some responsibility of yours. It's me. This is my responsibility. It's a covenant. This is my part. Amen. So your part is anything that pleases God is our part. God's part is anything that makes us happy. So you do your part. Alright? Be more godly. Please God. So engage in spiritual warfare. Bible says of Galatians 4:19. I'm not turning there. My little children, of whom I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. That's what is that's God's part that He wants us to do in the covenant. So when you do that part, you change the heavens. Then you crucify the flesh. Bible says in Galatians 5:24, then that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. Change the elements and burn them up with fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit. After all, he baptized us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Burn it up. Burn it up. Amen. And when you burn it up, then you now have the ability now to begin to do the will of God. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Those hidden things that nobody can see, bring them out in the open between you and God. Say, God is hidden, but I'm showing it to you. Help me. Don't walk in craftiness. No, don't be deceitful. Those Jacoby ways. Remove them. It's time for Jacob is going. We're phasing Jacob out. Israel is coming in. Yeah, we still go to Jeshurun. So phase out Jacob and let Israel come and sit and tabernacle. Amen. And for those of you that don't understand, Jacob went to three. No, God changed his name. Why did God change his name? It was a place of warfare. He was struggling with the angel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So that says that warfare produces a change of nature. Burn the earth. Change the heavens. Fervent heat. Amen. Alright. And then begin to exercise yourself in obedience. Why? Because the day we declare it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The day is going to declare it. So you might as well do it quickly, because what you are doing in the secret place is going to show. You cannot hide it. If in a while, you can only hide it for some time. You can't. Say no. When did we say this was? This was last year. Please, let 1 Corinthians 3:13. You're walking in the Spirit in Jesus' name. Every man's work shall be what? Made manifest. For what? The day of the Lord will declare it. In this day of the Lord, you must do things open and plain. Even when people don't see, I see people can see, because people are going to see it. One way or another. How? You will see. Because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire comes to everybody. You cannot hide from the fire. But you can prepare with a greater fire.
Huh? The three Hebrew boys. Eh? When they went and they took this greater fire and went and walked on it. So when Nebuchadnezzar came with his own fire and made it seven times hotter, it wasn't yet like the divine fire.
Where man has done seven times extra, he hasn't even gone to God's level. That's why when you want to talk about exam success, you need to put God first. So I learned that very early. I thank God. Just do it God's way. You will come out on top with less stress and with knowledge of God in your right hand. It's win-win all through. You're not losing anything. Okay, let's go back to where we were. So we're talking about the fire, okay? So this fire, you know, will reveal it and try every man's work of what sort it is. It's very important. We begin to close, all right? So that fire will try your work. So if your work was born in the spirit, the fire will display it. Look at Jeremiah 17 verse 10. God is going to reward us. Amen? He's going to reward us. But the reward is based on the quality of the work. See, I the Lord do what? Search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. What? And according to the fruit of his doings. Not his doings alone, no. The fruit of it. How much fruit is in your doing? How much of the fruit of the Spirit are you walking in? How much? That's what God is going to reward. God is rewarding fruit. It's very important, okay, for us to understand that. All right, look at verses 11 to 13. Verse 11 to 13, as we round up. Verse 11. We're going not Jeremiah 17, 11. We're going to 2 Peter 3, 11. Thank you. 2 Peter 3, 11.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, your heavens, your earth, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Next verse. Looking for. That's the next instruction. We now start looking for. Start looking for the glory. Start looking for godliness. Start looking for righteousness. Stop looking for external things alone. Start looking for the purity on the inside, the godliness on the inside, as well as whatever else God has promised us. Amen. And then we also run towards it. David hasted towards Goliath. Why did he do that? Because he knew he had a covenant. He said this uncircumcised Philistine will be like that. Yeah, because he doesn't have a covenant with God. He's coming against the armies of the living God. He understood covenant. Covenant is our strength. If you fulfill the conditions of the covenant, you stand in a very sure place. And you will speak with the enemies in the gate. But if you don't, then it brings timidity. So that little boy fulfilled covenant and he was standing on the shoulders of God. Okay? And was speaking with the enemy in the gate. So God is the covenant keeping God. And then keep looking. Alright? So, alright, next verse. Verse 12. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Next verse. So, and that's how we receive that. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be what? Diligent. That you may be found of him in peace, without spot, which is your flesh is cleansed of the sin nature, and blameless and mature. That's where God is taking us. How do we fulfill that? We fulfill that in circumcising our hearts. Okay? Keeping a heart of honest, humble hearts. Okay? We do that in feeding on the word of God. In the promised land, manna ceased. There was no manna again. So there was no daily portion anymore. It now became what you planted. So it really depends on you now. How much word do you want to eat? It left to you. If you want to just come to someone and put the notes and you never check it again, left to you. If you want to just hear, not even take any notes, left to you. If you want to do that, hear, take that notes, check the notes, go and do weekly rema, it's left to you. What you sow is what you reap. Promised land. It's promised land. It's left to everybody. What you want to do, no, none does compel. It's really left to you. And then, on top of that, you keep spiritual law. Spiritual law. Put the word in your heart. Put the word in your mouth. And you walk in love. When you walk in love, you fulfill the law.
Look at Romans 13. Let's round up as our last scripture. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything, but you owe them this, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath what? Fulfilled the law. Verse 10. Same Romans 13. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. For you don't get to love if you don't circumcise your heart, be more honest, be more humble, if you don't operate spiritual law, if you don't read the word and allow the word of God to dwell richly in you, is that provides the spiritual atmosphere, power, and enablement to now practice love of God and become a standard. Let us pray. Bow your head. Let's talk to God. God is working this out, but He wants us to be transformed. We sit under a very privileged ministry by the mercy and by the grace of God, and we need to make it count. So don't just be a person crossing over. That was why the Bible says God magnified Joshua. Moses just brought the people across, but Joshua, there was differentiation. There were people that were prepared for war. There were people that were not just prepared, they were armed and ready. You need to grow because you need to take your land. That land is the perfection and fullness of Christ. So the glory of God can be released upon you, and through you can fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Let's repent. Repentant attitude. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Don't take God for granted. Don't take oversight for granted. Don't take the word of God for granted. Ask God to help you. Lord, help me. And renew your determination. God is not slack concerning His promise. He will surely perform. He can. It's not a problem for Him. Empty yourself. Empty yourself of yourself, your will, your pride, your ambitions, and let God fill you up with glory. We declare your majesty. We proclaim that your name is exalted. For you reign magnificently, victorious the end. Your power is shown through all the earth, and we expect our God, your mighty. Your name, for you are holy. We sing it again. All honor and glory in adoration, we bow before your throne.
One more time,
we declare
your the end. Oh, your power is shown through all the earth.
And we exclaim,
our God, you're mighty. We lift up your name.
In adoration, we bow before your throne. In adoration, we bow before your throne.
Let's raise our right hand to God. Left hand on your heart as we pray. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, showing me that you are raising up a standard of leadership and followership, and you have extended unto me an invitation to come up hither to be part of this standard that you're raising up. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me to lift up the hands of Moses, to honor my fathers, to support them, to encourage them, to obey them, to be submissive to them, to be promptly obedient to them. Help me, Lord, to take up spiritual warfare, to fight my battles, so that the power of God will change my heavens, the power of God will change my earth, my will, my mind, my emotions, my feelings, my desires, my affections will change, that you will give me a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so receive, be able to receive the outpouring of the Spirit without measure, even your glory. I pray, O Lord, help my fathers, take them through to inherit, so under them we will enter into the fullness of the manifestation of your promise. They and us being for signs and wonders from the Lord of hosts that dwells in Mount Zion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Raneka Santo, Jeffrey Bekalamato, Rekedebedika, Rompa Pau, Consebiana, Ringedebetumbe, Jekalobasato, Riando, Ropediando, Chocolatebuso, Rebesoa, Ropaka, Jenga Namaya, Runemimania. Let's pray for our healing. Put your hand on your body. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you, because your word tells me that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was healed. Thank you, because you sent your word and you delivered us from all of our destructions. So, Father, under the covering of our spiritual fathers, in unity of faith and in one accord, we come to pray and to declare that Jesus has taken away our sicknesses and our infirmities, and the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells inside of me, and he flushes out sickness, disease, and infirmity, malfunction. We declare that by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our bodies, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet to the tips of our toes, we flush out infirmity, we flush out disease, we flush out sickness in the name of Jesus. We declare that our bodies and the DNA in every cell, in every organ, functions error-free. Our immune system functions optimally. So we live in divine healing and we live in divine health by the power of divine life. In the name of Jesus, we declare that we keep the laws
of hygiene and natural medicine. We keep the laws of diet, of rest, and of exercise. And we fulfill the number of our days until we are satisfied with the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Shalelebe saka, ronelebeyo, berelebe, barukatani, shekelebe soko lebeyana na, mapakare, robokotobia, shekreke koko lebeyi koko lebebosala, mekoba, yeko lebeyi koko lebebosote bia, rade to ba soto bike, shekelebe soto, rapaka, koke ko, doa toto be soto, bekeno bekeno, bekeno baka, bekeno, reke kopaka, shekelebe se, bekelebe so, rekelebe se. In Jesus' name, amen.